We just give you praise. Mark chapter 4. The other day, God gave me this word, and I want to share it this morning. Thank you, Jesus. He's talking about, starting in verse 1, he's talking about the sower sowed the word. And then we go down to verse 13. Know ye not this parable, and how then will you know all parables if you get this parable? The sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they've heard it, Satan comes immediately and takes it away. And these are they likewise which when it was sown on stony ground, when they heard it, the word immediately, they received it with gladness, but it had no root in itself. So it endured for a time, but then it got offended. Somebody say, on the stony ground, it got offended. When I didn't let God break me on the inside, then I got offended and I got out. That happened to me. Said no root in themselves, so they got offended. And these are they which, when the word's sown among thorns, such as hear the word, the cares of this world, this was a big one. This is the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entered in, choked the word, and it became unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. And then let's go down to verse 24. He said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath to him shall be given, and he that hath not, for him shall be even what he has taken away. And that's the word that God gave me. He that hath, to him more will be given. And he that hath not, what he has will be taken away. Yes. We talk about the talents a lot, how that one with five invested his, but the one with one hid his. So he had to give his to the one with five. Yes. So that backs up that word. He that hath, more is going to be given to him. Yes. Then he that hath not, what he has is going to be taken away. Amen. Now, why is it going to be taken away? Because when we have a mentality of have not, when we have a mentality that we don't have enough, yes, when we have a mentality that we can't do it, then that's a have not mentality. Yes. And if I have a have not mentality, that what I have is going to be taken away from me. Yes. It's going to be taken away from me because I don't believe that I have anything. Yes. But in 2 Kings chapter 4, when he said, go get a vessel, and the oil kept pouring, as long as they brought a vessel, they had a half mentality. They had a half mentality that when that vessel, they just kept bringing more vessels and more vessels and more vessels, because I have a mind and a mentality that I have and not one that I have not. And I don't operate in a half not mentality. I operate in a half mentality. Because in James 4:3 says, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss to consume it upon your own lust. Yes. Amen. The prayer was so good this morning. I appreciate Sister Dana leading that. Yes. And stepping out in faith. And when I was in the office, these words came to me, though, about the middle of prayer. When we have kingdoms of self, which is a have-not mentality, that I have to bring everything to me, yeah, because of fear that I'm not going to have enough. Oh. I have to bring everything to me. A kingdom of self is, if you don't do something for me, I'll get you water for 2 weeks, but wait, there's nothing in that for me. Oh. So I don't do that anymore. Yes. So when we draw people to ourselves, we have a have-not mentality, because we're not believing God. That if we give, it's going to be given back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. And what measure that I meet, it's going to be measured back to me. What measure that I give out, if I give out signals that I don't have enough, if I give out signals I don't have enough ministry, if I, as a pastor, operate in a have-not mentality, that there's not enough here, then there wouldn't be enough. But we get up and act like there's enough, and so there's enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We never had to worry about one penny. And everything we've done costs a lot of money. You should see those baskets in there that Charlotte made. They're beautiful. But everything we've done costs a lot of money here. But I've never had to say, oh, how are we going to pay that, God? Oh, how are we going to do this? How are we going to give $30,000 cash for a van, God? How are we going to buy that building? Because we have a half mentality. We have a half mentality. I have a mentality that those that have more is going to be given to them. Yes. Those that have not, what they have is going to be taken away. So I don't want us to operate in half-not mentality, because when we do, we will have not.
Yes.
Because we're believing for not.
Yes.
We're not believing that God can do that for us. But he said in 2 Corinthians that he gives seed to the sower, and he gives enough for me and enough for somebody else.
Yes.
He gives enough for me and enough for every good work. Hallelujah. I have a half mentality, God. I have a half mentality, God. I have a half mentality. Thank you, Jesus. God, I believe your word. I believe. And when we operate, when we believe, God, that there's enough. We believe, God, that the city's been taken. We believe, God, that revival's in our church. We believe, God, that we're going to step out of our flesh in a minute and separate our soul from our spirit so the Spirit of God can come in. We believe, God, that the blind eyes are going to be healed. I believe, God, that the dead are going to come. The dead in their spirit's going to come alive. I believe, God, that every time I come in here, somebody's going to be free. Because I have a half mentality. But sometimes what I've done is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us a half mentality. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. He says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves. He said, the same measure I meet is going to come back to me. Luke 6:38. So if I measure myself with Sonia, I can't never do her destiny. God didn't call me to. So I'm going to come up short. I'm going to come up lacking. I'm going to come up thinking I'm not good enough. I'm going to come to the law and the Bible and realize I can't keep it. Can't keep the Ten Commandments.
Right.
Probably broke almost all of them. I'm going to realize that one day and realize that without him, I could do nothing. So I can't compare myself with other people. I can't compare myself where they are in their walk with God. He said, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. Some people compare this ministry with other ministries. And they say, why does it take all that? Well, if I want to blow my brains out, it'd take more than a little blessing. If I didn't have any money. See, this ministry is not for you to go home and be the same. And I'm sure all pastors are like that. They don't want their people to go home and be the same. But I know this ministry. I only know about this one. This was to come in and have an experience with God to the degree that I don't want to be that way anymore. I want to come along here and be this way. I want to get in this word and I want to look at it until it changes me. Because the way that a man thinks, that is the way he is. So if I think I have not, then I'm always going to have not. If I think there's not enough, if I think that I can't go to the conference, if I think I can't do that and have Christmas with my kids, if I think that I don't have enough word, if I think this is not going to do what it needs to do, I don't have enough music, I don't have enough mentality, then that's what I'm believing for. But Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness' sake. So how am I going to be good enough? How am I going to be righteous enough? It's believing God that what he said in this word is true. What if he said that I have enough, then I have enough. And he said I have enough for me and enough for somebody else. Amen. But we dare not make ourselves of the numbers or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves. I did that all morning. Because see, whatever you preach, it's going to hit you. Oh,
yeah.
You'll have to live it. If you want to have that kind of ministry that's not just saying words.
That's right.
So I'm comparing myself. God, I do this. God, I wish I didn't do it that way anymore. God, comparing myself. Always on me. Always worried about fixing me. But if I will get a half mentality and realize that it ain't about me, it's about him living through me.
Yes.
And everything that he done on Calvary, I can do through this land and through this earth. You say, I can't die on a cross. Well, you do it every day that you serve Jesus. Every day, if you do it with the right spirit and the right heart and look to him, which is the author and finisher of your faith, then you're dying. You're dying on a cross daily. But if you're living for yourself, then you're not dying and you might not experience the cross. But the real victory is when I can die to my flesh and let him live through me. And then he can have a half mentality all throughout the land and me. My need is somebody else's need.
Yes.
So he said, don't measure yourself among yourself. Comparing themselves among themselves is not wise.
Right.
It's not wise for me to compare myself to Cindy. It's not wise for me to say, well, I'm at church every week and this one left, so I'm more spiritual. And Elder Robert says, somebody comes back, you better not judge them, because some people are left sitting in the pew. Verse 13, but we will not boast of things without our measure. I can't get glory out of Brother Allen's walk with God.
No.
This was a kingdom that Casey helped me pull down yesterday. We can't get glory out of someone else's work. I can't say my family don't have food and I'm going to the fiesta and put that on the church. See, I can't get glory out of my church will do this, my church will do that. Yes, I hope that your church will do that. But I can't get glory out of that when I don't do anything myself.
Yeah.
How are you going to relate to people and realize that you have more than enough is for you to get your hands in the midst of people.
Yeah.
For you to go over there when I don't have no electricity and no lights and no food and do what you can do, what God's telling you to do. That's the only way you're going to realize that you have enough.
Yeah.
Why don't we go do that? Because we don't think we have enough. We think we might have to do something that we don't want to do. We think I might have to pay your light bill, and I don't have enough to pay my own light bill. Because that's what people say. I can't even take care of myself. I got to get myself right before I help anybody else. Well, that's a half-not mentality. And you're going to stay in that half-not mentality till you get a half mentality and believe that God is more than enough, that everything that we need has already been done. Half-not mentality just keeps it on me.
Yes.
It just keeps pulling people to me to fill my need and to make me feel secure and make me feel like I got enough when there's people laying on the side of the road and they need somebody just to go by and say, I love you, brother. I want you to come and I want to help you and I want to do what I can to help you. God said, I'm not going to put more on you than you can stand. I'm not going to give you more than you can take. But we can't boast on somebody else. We can't boast on somebody else. We will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to me.
Yes.
A measure to reach even unto you. His measure is going to reach more than me. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure. Do you know you could be pushed to the point of breaking to where you don't? Because if you've got a mentality that God just wants something from you and you're just giving, 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 one day that's going to run out. And one of these days you will feel stretched beyond your measure. The Bible says don't be stretched beyond your measure. And realize that there's certain gifts that he gave you to do. And as long as you do them, then you're doing what you're supposed to do. But when you try to do everything else that everybody else do, so you don't have to do your own gift, then you get stretched beyond measure, and then that's when we quit. He said, we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. So he says, don't stretch yourself too much. That's not something I've called you to do. Don't compare yourself to others, but do what I called you to do.
Yes.
Let's look at 1 Timothy 5:8. I used to go to Mama and say, this person don't have no heat, Mama. This person can't eat lunch. This person, what do you want me to do? She said, they have 6 children. Every one of them have jobs.
That's right.
And she gave me the first part of this revelation, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he have denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now let's go over here to verse 16. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them.
Yes.
Anybody in your home can't buy diapers? He said, don't put that on the church when you doing everything you want to do.
Right.
Now, if you don't have any money, but what I say, self brings everything to it. It puts everything else on other people.
Yes.
And then they're broke beyond measure because they can't carry the load that people try to put on them. He said, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged.
Amen.
That it may relieve them that are widows indeed, that it might deal with the serious issues.
Wow.
Not a $10 meal. Not a $20 coat.
Amen.
When my kids got 5. Oh, you know, Pastor, my family's without. He says, take care of your family.
Yes.
Take care of yours. And so, God, we just want to thank you today for giving us enough for us and for somebody else. We just thank you for that, God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. I want to have the mentality, don't you? The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 9, 6, but this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. That don't sound right, does it? It seems like it'd be the other way around. I remember when Mama would be like, you going to the conference? I'm thinking, it cost me $3,000. If you go to the conference, one day I said, how can I do that and have Christmas? I don't know which one to do. She said, why can't you do both? And I had to start getting a half mentality.
Yes.
But it was more than just saying words.
Yes.
When the conference time came, and I'm not trying to get you to go to conference, I'm making a point.
Yes.
When the conference time came, I had to walk into that truth. I had to walk into it to start having a half mentality.
Right.
And so I said, okay, God. I said, okay, I know we're getting this income tax a month after we get back. So we went and we put all that on a credit card, and I came back, and what did I do? $3,000 to pay it off. I didn't keep that for myself.
Yeah.
But see, that helped me to walk in that, and I never had to charge it again.
Right.
I never had to charge $3,000 again.
Hey.
To go to the conference, but I had to break a half-not mentality. I had to break that somebody else is going to prepare the way for me. I had to quit wanting other people to make the way and not me ever get my hands in it, and then I never came into the truth. Yes, I want a half mentality. I want to know that I could get some turkeys, I could get some money, I could get some gift cards. I want to go see them hoping they want me to give them something, God. I want to go to them and hope they need to be free so I can start having a half mentality, so I can get rid of this have not mentality, and I can start walking in the truth that you already gave me, God, that there's more than enough in you, that if we give, it'll be given back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give under our bosom. There's more than enough in you, Jesus. Thank you so much, sweetie. take care of our families, especially in this season. I remember Gracie. I was bringing someone to church with me. They didn't have anything. They didn't have anything at Christmas. Didn't have any food. Didn't have Christmas tree. Sure didn't have any present for those two little kids. And I brought them to church with me about a month, and the Holy Ghost put it in me to take Gracie over there and let her give some of her gifts. So we went over there on Christmas Eve and walked in, and she was able to give those two little girls some of her presents. You know, she don't miss it today. She hadn't missed that gift. One day, she hasn't missed that. But that's what I'm talking about. I have something to give you. His name is Jesus Christ. I have something to give you, God. I have something to give you. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians, did we read that? It was 9:6. But this I say, he that sows sparingly, reaps sparingly. He that gives bountifully, reap bountifully. But let everybody purpose in his own heart what he's going to give, not out of grudgingly. Don't give me your worship grudgingly.
There's
Malachi says, God says, don't give me that kind of, don't give me something that's been tainted. David said, I don't even offer anything to God that didn't cost me something. That goes in our time, our worship. It goes in every area, not just money. Don't give God half heart on a Sunday morning, not that you do, but don't give him half heart during the week. Don't drive by and see somebody cold and you got five coats and just keep driving.
Right.
Oh, church should take care of that.
No.
You know, what I hear most is people say things like, there's going to be a lot of people there. There's going to be a lot of people at the hospital. There's going to be a lot of people at someone's shower. There's going to be a lot of people. I don't know the root of that, but I know that it keeps us from doing anything sometimes, you know. And then you get there and there ain't no people. So it's a lie from the enemy to justify, you know. Michelle was having a baby in CrossFit, and I was there all day, and I think a couple of people came, stayed about 5 minutes and left. She almost lost the baby, you know. So we put out that we needed prayer that for Zeke not to die. And it was about 8 or 9 o'clock, and somebody called me to meet a need in their life. And I said, I hear people. Yeah, I'm with this one and that one. I said, well, can y'all come see Michelle? You know, and I just want us to get a half mentality, because they thought that everybody else had been seeing her all day, but they wasn't. We think that everybody else is feeling the need. You know, that may go back to the Good Samaritan story, just keep walking by. We think someone else is going to do it a lot of times. And the other thing is, we don't think we have enough. We think that something's going to be required of us that we're not able to give. But if I go ahead and say I'm not able to give it, but Jesus can give it, and he's not going to put more on me than I can do, then I'm going to open myself up to go give.
Amen.
I'm going to open myself. Somebody said they don't go see people because they don't know what to say. But God gave me a scripture on that. He said that he called us to comfort those that mourn. The same scripture, he says, I called you to cast out devils, heal the sick. He said, I called you to comfort those that mourn. So comfort is just a hug.
That's right.
You know, it's just somebody showing up and saying, we love you. Elder Bivens said that he got so much strength from Brother Allen that Brother Allen came in that hospital room and sit down, and he just drew strength from him. So God, give us a half mentality. Instead of us walking in and drawing strength, let's go give some strength. Let's give some strength to somebody else. Amen. We just give you praise for it, God. We thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says that God gave every man a measure of faith. And then he talks about, in those same scriptures, there's some grace gifts. I'm going to look at them. Romans 12, 3. Y'all can sit down. Y'all don't have to keep standing. Thank you. For I say unto you, through the grace given unto me. How am I going to have a half mentality? Through the grace given to me. Not something I have to do. Not something I have to produce. It's simply opening myself up for failure. Opening myself up for rejection. Opening myself up for I might have to give a little time or energy. I might have to miss prayer and don't get something for myself to go get this soul. I might not have enough if I don't go and make sure I have enough. Well, that keeps us having a have-not mentality instead of a have mentality, because the grace is sufficient for me to supply all my needs. And he said that he's going to be the supplier of my want. So I'm not going to have any wants, and I don't. I don't have any wants. Monica said, what kind of house you want? I said, I like the one I have. I don't have any wants in me. All my children are serving God. That's all I want. I don't have any. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For I say unto you, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. We don't have more than our brother. Don't think more of ourselves than others, because he said, I dealt every man this measure of faith. Amen. And then he talks about the different gifts. And what God showed me, the revelation that he showed me, was these gifts come with negative. You know, we have to see that. And I think God does that so we don't get too puffed up and we realize that we can't do it anyway, and Jesus is going to do it through us. So I don't want to focus on the negative. I want to show you, though, that it's normal for you to have to battle with one. Okay? So a couple examples of that. He says, having these gifts, verse 6, according to the grace given to me, whether prophesy, let us prophesy according to our faith. So I'm going to have to use faith to do that. It's not just going to happen for me, or I can't use someone else's faith. Ministry, he says, which is serving, he said, let them wait on and be ministers. He that teacheth, teaching. He that exhorteth, exhortation. He that giveth with simplicity. See, a giver will give everything they got, and they'll give their kids things away. He said, give with simplicity. Give with modern. I mean, you don't have to have this much. I used to cook for Mama. I cook her a big old 13x9. She said, me and Daddy can't eat all that. Quit bringing that excess and just give me a little bowl. You know, do it with simplicity. He that rules, which is my husband, do it with diligence. You know, sometimes if we have a boss, we know we're called to be over people, be an administrator. Then we think we got that. Not saying he thinks that. I'm saying we think we got that. But he said, rule with diligence. Yeah. Quit thinking that it's just going to happen for you because you already know. Rule with diligence. Amen?
Amen.
And this is one that got me, mercy, which is mine. He said, do it with cheerfulness. Because, like I said before, if you listen to a lot, sometimes it can make you sad. He said, be cheerful with that mercy. Be cheerful with it. And I won't go on with the rest on, but I'll let. He doesn't explain all the negatives in here, but he showed me through that because he spoke to me. He said, have mercy with cheerfulness. And I started looking at them, and I said, God, these things, and I'd heard for years that servant motivated people could do everything for others and forget their family. So that could be a negative. I'm not saying they do those things. I'm saying that they want to serve. They want to serve. They want to serve. We want to rule. We want to rule. We want to have mercy, and we forget other things. And he said, you watch out for those negatives, okay? Now let's look at Genesis chapter 47. We're getting ready for Jacob to bless his sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. Genesis chapter, we'll go to chapter 48. And I saw where it wasn't just his sons that got blessed. It was his grandchildren also. So Genesis chapter 48, verse 8. And Israel, which is Jacob, that is his new name, Israel, beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons, whom God had given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel was dim, so he couldn't see clearly. But he kissed him and embraced him. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath shown me also thy seed. He's saying, I didn't even think I'd see you again, Joseph. But God brought me to see you, because this is after all those years where they put him in the pit and he's ruling and reigning, the 7 years of plenty, and they're going to him for food. And Israel said, I didn't think I'd see you again, much less your grandchildren, my grandchildren. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took Ephraim, and he took Manasseh. And Israel stretched out his hand, and he blessed them. In verse 15, he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham, Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life until this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let thy name be on them in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. So we see that he blessed his grandchildren. And then in chapter 49, he says to his sons, I'm fixing to die, and these are the things that's fixing to be. This is going to be you.
Right.
And it wasn't all good.
Amen.
When I was thinking about the blessings last week, I thought, oh, I can't wait to tell them the blessings. But when Jacob blessed his children, let me just read it. Jacob blessed them, chapter 49, verse 1. He called his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you which shall befall you in these last days. I'm going to tell you where you are. I've trained you. I've set you where I thought God wanted you in the ministry. And this, I'm going to speak this over you, and then I'm going. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength. That was the positive side. The excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. But you're unstable as water.
Wow.
Thou shalt not excel because you went to your father's bed. Verse 5, Simeon and Levi, y'all are brothers, but your instruments of cruelty. And cruelty is in your habitations. So you're not going to prosper either. I'm going to get to a positive side in a minute. Verse 8, Judah. Thou and he that is with you shall be praised. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thy enemies, and your children shall bow down before thee. The scepter shall not depart from you till Shiloh comes. That's Judah. How many? That sounds awesome, don't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Zebulun, verse 13, shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be a haven for ships. Issachar, you're a strong donkey, couching down between two burdens. But you wait too long, Issachar. You wait too long. And because you wait too long, then the people with you is going to be a band of slaves.
Wow.
You have this positive attribute, but you just keep standing between two burdens and you won't never decide. And because you do that, then you're bringing them into a bondage with you.
Wow.
Dan, you're going to judge the people as one of the tribes of Israel. And a serpent's going to be by the way, and an adder in your path that biteth the horse heels so that his rider shall fall backward. He's got power to knock the devils out. Hallelujah. Gad, you're a troop. A troop shall overcome you, Gad, because you live in defeat. And this thing just keeps defeating you over and over again. But one day, Gad, he says, he shall overcome him in the last.
Yeah.
One day, Gad, you're going to get up and you're going to defeat this truth that keeps defeating you. You're going to rise up and you're going to defeat him. You're going to push him out of the way. Asher, his bread shall be fat and he shall yield royal dainties. I don't think I'm going to say this one right. I'm going to call him Natalie. Naphtali. You're like a deer that's loose, and your words are good words. Joseph, you're a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot him and hated him. but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, Joseph, because they hate you, Joseph. Everybody hates a dreamer, you know, that don't want to dream. Wants to put them in a pit. But he said, your God's going to help you, Joseph. And the blessings of your father prevailed all these other blessings. Verse 27, Benjamin. And God showed me, you know, if there's any little attribute at all, this little bit of me, he showed Benjamin. Shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. Amen. And Benjamin had a left-handed army, and that army didn't lose any battles. So God, so when I get up and I feel strongholds and confusion and principalities hitting my mind and negative hitting my mind to get to the root of the problem, then I try to come here and be positive to you. He said, that's what I'm called to do. Benjamin, you're called to get up in the morning, and you're called to bring down those strongholds. And at night, then the people can divide the spoils and they can be free. So don't despise your calling. Don't think there's something wrong with what God called you. Don't compare yourself. Don't think you don't have enough. Don't have a have-not mentality and think that you can't do these things, because God's going to do them through you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I said, God, when Jacob blessed them, it wasn't all good. But he showed me that, and then he showed me the gifts that he's put upon us, you know, the grace gifts and just some of the gifts, and how they had negative too. And I said, God, so how did we ever come through? And he said, Jesus.
Yes.
They didn't have Jesus back then. And Jacob had to pronounce on them, you're not going any further. This is not going to excel. But when Jesus came, he's the anointed one. He's Christ, the anointed one. And he gives me the ability to accomplish the task that God gave me. So how am I going to not be like them and stay the same? It's because I'm going to get the half mentality that Jesus Christ is the anointed one. And the anointing means the ability to do what you're called to do. The ability, grace, and anointing. They mean the ability. God gives you the ability through Jesus Christ to accomplish the call that's on your life. We got to quit looking at what we don't have and start looking at what we have. We got to start looking at what we have. Because if I keep thinking I'm unstable as water, then I'm going to be unstable as water. But he didn't have Jesus coming along. You could do it. This is the way you are now. But because I'm going to live through you, and I don't have a have-not mentality, Jesus is saying. I done conquered death, hell, and the grave. Everything's under my feet. I don't have this Jesus. I'm not scared of the devil. I'm not scared to put myself out there and feed the hungry. I'm not scared. I already did all those things. So I'm living on the inside of you, and you can rise up and take hold to what God put in your life, and you can conquer all these strongholds and negative and these onslaughts from the enemy that hit you in the face every time you try to obey God. I pull them down in the name of Jesus. John 8, verse 10. Now, God gave me a couple words for a couple people. And Monica, I want you, if you don't mind, to come stand right here. I think she went out, but maybe someone can get her. God, we just give you praise for it. You know how all your life the men of God had said things like, go and sin no more? God spoke to me. And he said that the reason that happened to you, because he's going to use you for people to go and sin no more. He's going to use you to not bring condemnation like they brought it onto you. But that life was going to come out of you where they didn't ever feel beat up. They didn't feel condemned. And that was the negative side of the perception of what
we see, but God meant it as a way of saying, go and sin no more, is what you're going to bring out, but you're going to bring it out with the life of God. Thank you for it, Lord. Well, first I want to say Elder Robert, and then I'll get to Sister Dana. 1 Timothy 5:17. Julie has your envelope. I want to thank you for what you've done all year to help the ministry. And you've showed yourself honorable. And I want those kids back there to kind of make a room for you in that little office, so when you come and study, you have a place. The Bible says, 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. And I just want to give you double honor today. He says, especially those that labor in the word and doctrine. So I want to speak that over you, and I want to thank you for everything you've done to help me this year. You get one of those fruit baskets. Elder Sonia and Elder Carl. It's okay. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2 says Moses was faithful in all of his house. There was a mighty one that came that was more faithful, but he's the only one that was Jesus. And I just want to give you honor for being faithful to God. That's what God showed me about you, that through this time in your life, you was faithful to God. Yes. And you were faithful in the house, the place that he has for you, and standing on that word. And Elder Carl, you've been faithful to your wife. You've been dedicated and faithful to your wife. And I appreciate y'all. Jesus. Just give me some of those gift cards up here. Because I get to wanting to give more. You're welcome. Here you go. Thank y'all so much. God bless you. You're welcome. Thank you, Jesus. Can somebody get that gift off my chair in there? There's a gift in there. Julie, Exodus 17:12. Thank you. This says you're the most supportive. Actually, someone in the ministry wanted to get you this gift. So would you open it in front of everybody? Yes. As you open it, I want to say this over you. Exodus 17:12. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And I hadn't had Elder Sonia this year, so you held up both hands. And I just appreciate that. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Thank you so much. Let me get you a little something. Thank you. Held up both hands many times. Many times. Not that I was going to quit, but I just needed that confirmation. Amen. And Sister Dana, Luke 18:8. Well, I might as well read the whole thing. 18, verse 1. Spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, but there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, said, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? In other words, what I see about you is the most persistent. You don't give up. You just, and he said, when I come back, can I find that kind of faith on the earth? Somebody that just won't quit. Amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thank you. I give you praise for it, God. We just thank you this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for coming in and having your way, Lord. Brother Allen, you're the first one I wrote out, if you don't mind. Brother Allen, you've been the most holy. That's what I see on you. You've just kept that mantle of holiness on you. And everything that you've told me has come to pass. Every dream that you've had, it's just affirmed the ministry. And Brother Allen said that we won the city. So let's get a have mentality about it. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Michelle and Casey. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all come on. If someone's warm, we could turn the air on. I'm warm, so let's turn the air on. Amen. Someone else may be warm. Thank you, Jesus. Give you praise for it, Lord. I'm going to get one of those fruit baskets for them, too. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Casey, what I've seen about you this year is you've been the most challenged. At every hand, God's been challenging you to do the work of the ministry, but I see you committing and surrendering to that, and I appreciate it. Amen. Michelle, you've been the most loyal. I just appreciate your loyalty. Thank you. Aren't these beautiful? Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Cindy. Thank you. Fruit basket. Yes. And what I see about you is the most tenacity. You know, that word means that you grab a hold and you don't give up. Nothing can pull you away from this ministry. This year, you just stayed true, and I just appreciate that about you. I love you. And Jeremy, help her eat this fruit, because I know she's got to have you too. Amen. Brother Timmy and Sister Brandy. What I say about you, Brandy, is you've been the most committed. You have been committed to that children's ministry and to the church, and I just want to thank you for that. And I've seen you in the most willingness, just willing. If I said, for Timmy, it's time, let's do this, then you were willing to do that. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
God bless y'all. Amen. We already gave Barbara her word last week. Anointings are coming on her, and I need a fruit basket for her. And someone might have been thinking, how could someone else's anointing come on Barbara? Because God don't ever give up on us. And God does. He's not giving up on us. But someone told me, that Pastor D told me, that someone wanted to retire in our ministry. They don't want to do the vision. They don't want to do the ministry. They don't want to do it anymore. So that anointing came on Barbara. Amen. God bless you. And God said you was the most fruitful.
Amen.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Who else, Julie? Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask my husband to come. You know, I put it on Facebook what I thought about him, but I do want to honor him. Yes. Just want to thank you for being there for me and just give you a little something for your faithfulness to help in every area. Just be able to help the kids and help me and come out, push the garbage can, drive the van, fill the van up. Everything that we needed, you've been here to do that, and I appreciate it for you. Thank you, Jesus. Julie, and so we have some fruit baskets and we have some turkeys, and everyone else that's here, I want everyone to leave with something this morning. So would you just whichever one they'd rather have for a family. Thank y'all for coming. Yeah.